Greetings, good morning, God morning, great morning, and welcome to Declare Victory. I'm your announcer, Timothy Alexander White. Saturated Sunday, preparing our hearts and minds for collective worship at our individual churches. Today, we dedicate our intercession to churches near and far and pray that people are empowered to live a life of purpose as a result of the gospel. What better way to start our day than with the on-fire man of God, Pastor Lavelle Jones, as he walks through the Word with passion and power. Put your seatbelts on. We're not a church. We're just a bunch of radical believers that know that the effectual continued prayers of the righteous availeth much. We empower you to go back into your local church and assist in holding up the arms of your set man or woman of God assigned to your life.
Good morning. I'm reading Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy God and thy God.
Amen. Well, thank you, thank you, thank you for the choices. We just heard just a little bit, but that's perfectly fine. It's one of my favorite scriptures. Well, I praise God for you sharing in advance. Amen. My name is Dion, and I am your host for this morning. I want to welcome you, welcome you, welcome you. Thank you, Bubbly, for that warm greeting as always, and thank each and every one of you. Happy Sunday. Hope everybody had an incredible, incredible Saturday, as I did. It was nice and relaxed, thank God. By chance, are there any new callers?
Yeah.
Well, good morning. Who is that? Well, it's not necessary that you say your name for any of the new callers. Just want to welcome you and say God bless you. We thank God for your presence this morning. We have a couple of events and just a quick update or two. We've been announcing that the picnic is happening June 13th, and the responses are minimal. I know that we usually show up in the ninth hour, but it's really important that we have the confirmation so that we can make the necessary arrangements for the children, things such as the jumpers, the face painting, ensuring that we have a DJ for the event. Also for the men to contact Pastor Lavelle Jones with regard to making sure that the meat is on deck so that we can eat well, and just so that we can ensure that everything is in order for everyone to have a great time. I'm sure it's going to be beyond a blast. Lastly, just a really quick reminder about the prophetic encounter. That's next Sunday, not this Sunday, but next Sunday at 4:30 p.m. That's going to be in the city of Fairfield. For those that are planning to attend, of course, there is no cost at all for that. And we also have prayer requests, one from Dee Dee Felder. And Dee Dee is asking for God's favor, blessings over her godson, Dalen. I'm not sure if it's Dalen or Dylan. As he marries his high school sweetheart, I think that was yesterday. I'm sorry. And then I have one from Imani for Kwame. Prayer for him. He's leaving to Washington, D.C., just for safe travels and return. A prayer request from Erica for Ezra, Ari, and herself. They are all sick with colds. Special prayer for Ari. She's been not able to hold anything down since, I believe, probably yesterday at some point. And she doesn't worry. She's a worrywart. Also one from Tanya Alexander for Robert. Say it again. For Robert Hodges, who's currently hospitalized, for complete healing. So if we can pray for Mr. Hodges, that would be great. Super quick reminder, please, ma'am, please, sir, please, sir, please, ma'am, please, and thank you. Make sure that you mute your line. You can press the star 6 feature. If not, just use your standard mute feature on the line. And keep in mind that even if, in fact, we do mute you, you do not have to hang up and call back. You can press star 6 when you are prepared to talk. So it doesn't mean that you have to disconnect and reconnect. Just press star 6. To rejoin the potential open possibility. And Tracy, if you'd like, you can grab an additional scripture, which would be absolutely fine, to prepare for the call order. So Sunday's call order is as follows. Ms. Tracy Gardner will open us up with a scripture. Pastor Lavelle Jones will then follow her with a declaration. Put your seatbelts on. Lisa Porter, who rocked it out on yesterday with that ridiculously incredible word. We'll be sharing the word, call her the walking word. Ravonda will open us up in prayer. And if Powerhouse can go real hard in the paint for us, it's a perfect day to experience that level of power. So again, the final order of the call. Tracy, scripture, Lavelle, declaration, Lisa, opening prayer, Ravonda, following her, Denise will close us out this morning. And again, don't forget to place your phones on mute as I pass the call to Sister Tracy.
Good morning, everyone. I'll be reading from Psalms 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? As I pass the call.
Amen. Good morning, everyone. God has yet shown us another expression of his love, another opportunity to be here, and for that we thank God. I want to thank Bubbly for the scripture, for the greeting, as wonderful as always, and Tracy, two awesome scriptures. Thank you so much. Thank our host this morning, Sister Dion. I want to jump right in to this declaration today. I need you to pray for me and really pray hard for me because I have to stand 4 times today. And, it takes a lot out of you. And I've got a total of 5 services today because after I finish preaching, I've got to do an ordination service back in Stockton. So it's going to be a long day. So let me get started. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 6 through 9 says, "For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations. Listen to this. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." And I want to look at something in this. I want to look at the other side of grace, the other side of grace, because, and I want to look at the role of the grace of God in enabling the child of God to live a victorious and overcoming life, because Paul delineates concerning the grace of God. Grace, y'all, isn't it such a wonderful subject? There are many definitions and descriptions of this word grace. For some say that the grace of God is God's unmerited favor. For others say that the grace of God is God giving to us that which we don't deserve. Still yet others say that grace is simply God's free gift to us. And the truth of the matter is, each of these definitions hold a certain amount of truth to them. But however, have you ever considered the fact that there's another side of the grace of God that doesn't really look like grace at all? It's a painful and unpleasant side of the grace of God that often challenges our notions of the nature of God's goodness in our life. Have you ever considered the fact that God's grace is evident when he gives to us that which we don't deserve, but God's grace is also evident when he allows us to experience things that we don't even like? That there's a painful and unpleasant side of the grace of God that doesn't really look like grace at all. It's if Marcus was here, he'd tell you it's one of those less played keys on the piano of Christian living that we don't like to touch. I mean, most of our conversations about the grace of God are pretty much one-sided because we like to talk about the grace of God that saved us from our sins, and that's saving grace. But today I want to talk about the grace of God that enables us to endure the afflictions of life, that sustaining grace. And no one was more qualified to talk about the sustaining grace of God than the Apostle Paul. Because in the same text, he described, watch this, y'all, he described both a high moment of ecstasy and yet a low moment of agony. He allowed us to tag along with him to a place, as he described, as being the third heaven, where he was shown visions and revelations that no mortal man or woman had ever seen before. And in the same breath, y'all, he allows us now to walk with him down the lonely corridors of his pain and his agony. And while both of these experiences express an aspect of the grace of God, it is that painful and unpleasant side of God's grace that I just want to talk about for a few minutes because there are some melodies of the music of your life, some chords on life's music that can only be heard when we have the courage to touch life's less played keys. And I thought that I would talk about this today because I believe that I might have somebody on the line with a smile on your face. You might have hallelujahs on your lips, and you might have uplifted hands. But the truth be told, behind your smiles, behind your hallelujahs, behind your hand waving, somebody is wondering, Lord, why am I going through what I'm going through, how I'm going through as much as I'm going through? And I want to share with you today that if your spiritual antenna is up, you'll discover that God's grace is not only evident when he allows you to experience what you don't deserve, but God's grace is also evident when he allows you to experience things that you don't like. So if you don't mind, let me just spend a few minutes in unraveling that, and I promise I'll be finished. And I just want to highlight a couple movements because I'm not going to be able to finish this today. So let me highlight just a couple of movements because the text is fluent. It's a text that's moving, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time. I'm going to go with the airflow. So let me just share with you. The first thing that I notice is that there's a predicament that is mentioned. Paul had gone to the third heaven where he had been shown visions and revelations that no mortal man or woman had ever seen. Now he has come back down from the mountain of ecstasy to the valley of reality of his pain and agony. And when Paul gets back down to reality, he shares with us that he found himself facing a predicament. When you look at the predicament that he faced, a couple things just jump right off the page to me. Number one, I noticed that it was sensually irritating because in verse 7 he said that a thorn in the flesh was given to me. That word thorn there, it literally means a sharp stake or a splinter-like object, a pointed kind of object, if you will. He's speaking metaphorically by describing his condition as like somebody taking a stake and literally driving it into his flesh. He said, a thorn in the flesh was given to me. Now we don't know what the thorn was. I mean, there's a lot of conjecture and speculation as to what Paul's thorn in the flesh might have been. Some speculate that his thorn in the flesh might have been some human personalities
that Paul had some human haters in Corinth who were continuously dogging him out because they were challenging the authenticity of his apostolic calling. They were suggesting that Paul was not a full apostle because he was not one of the original 12. And perhaps so maybe Paul's thorn in the flesh might have been some human haters who were hating him for general purposes. And my question to you, have you ever met folk like that? That you've never done anything to them, but they seem to hate you just because they can? Well, others speculate that Paul's thorn in the flesh might have been his own sense of shortcomings and limitation, because in Corinth they criticized Paul on two fronts. They criticized him on the basis of his appearance, because historians suggest that Paul was not known to have been a handsome man, but his history suggests that he might have been a short, bald-headed man with some kind of facial contusion. Even in the epistle, they said that his physical appearance was weak. And so maybe Paul's thorn in the flesh was this ongoing criticism that he had to face every day that reminded him of his own limitations and shortcomings. But others speculate that his thorn in the flesh might have been some besetting sin that he had in his life that he couldn't overcome. But and then they criticized him. They said, well, he's a good writer, but he can't preach. But the truth is, we really don't know what Paul's thorn in the flesh was, and it's really not important that we know what it was. But whatever it was, it bothered him, it hurt him. Whatever it was, it caused him to live in pain. And the paradox about it all is that God permitted him to have it. Child of God, every now and then, God will allow even the child of God to face a set of painful circumstances that we don't like and that we don't want. And I know we're listening to our gospel music today, and I know we live in a day where this new theology is suggesting that you have the blessing of Abraham on your life, and because of such, everybody's supposed to be healthy, everybody's supposed to be wealthy, nobody's supposed to get sick or have any problems. But Paul reminds us that even the child of God, God sometimes allows us to experience pain that we don't like, much like he did in the case of his only begotten son Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, when sweat like drops of blood was falling from his brow, and in his agony, Jesus looks up and says, Father, this is a bitter cup. If it's possible, let this cup pass. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine will be done. And the point I'm literally trying to make this morning, that if God allowed Jesus to face pain and Paul to face pain, don't you know that every now and then that God will allow you and me to go through some pain? Watch this. It was essentially irritating, but wait, it was also satanically influenced, because watch what he said. He said, a messenger, a courier, an emissary of Satan himself to buffet me. And in that word buffet, it means to hit or strike with a fist. It means to beat down. It's in the present tense, which means it wasn't just a one-time blow, but it was a continuous blow. He said, every day this thing bothers me. Every day it hounds me. Every day it hurts me. And he describes it as if God is allowing the devil to bring it upon him. And sometimes, child of God, God will allow the devil to bring a set of circumstances into our lives that we don't like and that we don't want. Much like he did in the case of Job, God permitted the devil to bring evil into Job's life. But the silver lining of the story of Job for me is this. It seems to suggest that Satan does not have free reign in the life of a child of God, and that before he can bring anything into your life, he has to first get permission from God. And if God permits it, that must mean that he can trust you with trouble. Have you considered my servant, Job? I mean, look at the scandal of that. I mean, it's almost like God is sicking the devil on his own child. He said, I trust Job with trouble. But watch this. After the predicament is mentioned, he noticed that a purpose was manifested. Watch what he says. There was given to me a thorn in my flesh. He said, I didn't get this thorn by accident. I didn't get this thorn by coincidence. No. He said, but this thorn was given to me, that somebody on purpose gave me this thorn, which means although my thorn caused me to hurt, it's a gift to me. that sometimes God allows us to have the gift of pain in order to make us what he wants us to be. Somebody said that pain is God's megaphone, that God uses pain as his instrument in order to make us the people that God wants us to be. What's your purpose, Paul? Why did God allow you to have this thought? First of all, watch this. It was to remind others of his humanity. Watch what he says, because in verse 6 he says, lest anyone should think of me what he sees me to be or hears of me. You see that word think? The word think is a mathematical metaphor that literally means to calculate. Because Paul had gone to the third heaven, had seen what nobody else had ever seen before, and Paul understood that when you have that kind of success, other people might have gotten an over-calculated estimation of his worth. And so he says that in order to remind other folks that I'm just a man, there was given to me a thorn in my flesh. Paul understood that when people see others who they think are successful, they have a tendency to put them on pedestals where only God belongs. You remember he and Barnabas were in a certain city in the book of Acts, and the Bible says that he healed the crippled man, and they began to bow down and worship Paul. And Paul tore off his clothes to reveal his flesh and said, don't worship me. I'm just a man of like passion. And, you know, I think that's a relevant word for us today, because we live in a country that has a strong hero need, and we have to have something to idolize, someone to literally put on a pedestal, because the idol becomes a kind of projection of everything you wish that you could be, but you're not. So that's why our young people idolize rap stars, and America idolizes her movie stars. And isn't it ironic that the number one television show is American Idol? Because we love our idols. So not only that, it was to remind others of his humanity, but it was also that he could retain his humility. Because he said, unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelation. Paul turns the spotlight of critical analysis upon himself, because he had gone to the third heaven. He had seen what nobody else had seen. And with that kind of ministerial success, Paul understood that there is often a correlation between success and conceitedness, success in getting the big head. So he said, in order to keep my feet squarely on the ground, there was given to me, gifted to me, a thorn in the flesh. Let me conclude with this. I believe God wants to bless some of us, but God can't afford to bless some of us. Because when some of us make a nickel more than others, we walk around with our nose in the air. Sometimes your nose so far in the air that if it rained, you would drown. So in order to keep your feet on the ground, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. It is suggested that the wise shipmaker knows that the taller a ship's superstructure, the sail and the mast ascends, the heavier the bottom or the ballast of the ship has to be. Because if a ship has a tall sail but a light bottom, the wind catches the sail, lifts the ship out of the water. The ship loses its buoyancy, flips over, and sinks to the bottom. So the wise shipmaker knows that the taller I make the sail, the heavier I got to make the bottom. I got to put on it some heavy stuff. And it might be what you're going through is God putting some heavy stuff on you so that you don't get caught in the winds of success and lose your buoyancy and sink to the bottom. So here's the word that God wants me to share with you as I conclude. He wants me to raise this question. How high can I lift you without losing you? How high can I lift you without losing you? God bless you and may God keep you. Pray my strength.
Father, we just thank you, God. We give you glory and honor, God. We bless your name, for you are great, and you've done great things, God. And not only have you done great things, God, but you've chosen your people to do great things through, God. For that, we just thank you. We thank you for using us and choosing us. And, God, we just love you this morning. We just want to lift you up, God, because you said if you be lifted up from the earth, then you would draw all men unto you. And we know you were lifted up, Jesus, on the cross. But, God, we lift you up in our lives. We declare that you are Lord of our lives. We lift lift you up from this earth so that people can see your goodness and your greatness, God. We lift you up, God, in the way that we live and the way that we talk, God, in the words we say, God, and how we're your vessels of honor, God. We lift you up as we come before your people, God, and share your goodness, God, as we are the extensions of your hands and your feet, God, and your mouthpiece, God. We thank you for being great, for being the great I am, everything that we need you to be, God. We love you with everything in us, and help us, God, to love you even more, God, to love you the way you desire and deserve to be loved, God. Help us to love ourselves, God, and help us to love others. We thank you for everybody on this call. We thank you for this Declare Victory Lifeline, God. We thank you that you're doing a new thing in our lives and you're joining your people together and you're building and strengthening your body and you're causing us to walk in love, God. We thank you for showing us what that looks like. We thank you for your word that goes forth every single day, God, and the prayers and supplications and intercessions that's made on the behalf of others every day. We thank you for your word today from Pastor Jones, reminding us, God, that your grace is sufficient in anything that we go through, God, no matter what we go through, God, that you are right there. You said you would never leave us nor forsake us. God, we thank you that the things that we go through didn't come to take us out, God, but the trying of our faith worketh patience, and patience worketh experience, and experience works hope in us, God, to let us know that you are yet perfecting us, God, and even in those moments where we need to be corrected, you said that you chasten those that you love. So you even love us in the midst of, God, when you have to get us back together and get us right, God. And thank you for those thorns in our flesh, God, and those things that come to buffet us to remind us to not think more highly of ourselves than we ought, God, that we would walk in humility, God, for you were a humble servant. You came riding in on a donkey. You could have came in a chariot, but you didn't. You showed us humility. Help us to remember, God, to prefer others more highly than we do ourselves as well, God. And help us, God, to choose others before we're always choosing ourselves. Cause us not to be selfish and puffed up and full of pride, because that's one of the things that you hate. And we realize that's why you kicked Satan out, God. So we don't want to be found walking in pride and thinking we're all great and doing great things apart from you, God, without giving you the glory and the honor, God, because you said you would share your glory with no man. We thank you for the prayer requests that have gone forth, God, that you would strengthen Pastor LaVey as he goes forth before your servants, God, as your servant before your people, that you would strengthen him, God, on his inner man. Holy Spirit, we pray that you rise up right now and that you take over and that you continue to give him the words to speak as someone is edified in the body, someone is encouraged, someone is lifted up, someone's given hope that they can go on. God, we thank you for blessing him with the ability to share your word so powerfully, God, as only you can do, God, realizing the gift came from you. It doesn't is not his own thing, but it's something that you've given, God, and that you, God, would be glorified and lifted up and edified, and that men would be drawn and pointed towards you. For that we thank you, God, that he is a vessel, God, being used. So, God, you equipped your vessel and you strengthened your vessel, and you've given him everything that he needs, that he would rest in you. For that we thank you. I believe it was Danny who praying for her heart and for strength, God, and for restoration of her mind, God. Maybe it's sleep, God. Maybe it's just spending more time with you. Maybe it's getting in your word. Whatever it is, God, that you would give her the wisdom that she needs, that she can do what you've called her to do, God, that you are a restorer of a mind, God. You are a mind regulator. You are a heart fixer, God. You are able, God, to heal broken places, God, and mend things back together, God. So for that, we already thank you. We thank you for Dee Dee and her prayer request as her son-in-law or godson or someone got married, God, you know. Thank you for blessing that union, God. Thank you for joining them together, God. I looked at some of the pictures, and God, I just see your love. I thank you, God, for what you've joined together. No man shall be able to come in and separate. For that, God, we thank you that their three-strand cord, God, is firm, God, and that it shall not be broken, God. I thank you for her and her husband being a witness to them and being a light to them, God, and showing them an example of a good and godly marriage, God, that you would bless them. Thank you for Imani and Kwame as he has his D.C. trip, God. Let him have the time of his life. Let him enjoy, but let him be a light also, God, that people can see all the way in D.C. that you're still real, God, that you work and operate in your children, God, and that you have favor upon the children that you have called out, God. thank you that he's a leader. Thank you, God, for his smartness, that you've given him wisdom, God, and the ability to take tests. And we're yet praying, I believe, for him to get into Bishop O'Dowd. He's already in, God, but that you would send the finances. We hadn't spoken it out in a while, God, but we yet are still believing that. We thank you for Erica and her family, God, that you would touch them all as they are suffering through a cold. God, we thank you that this too shall pass, that there will be no residual damage or nothing left behind, God, that you would right now, you said you sent forth your word and it healed, so we sent forth your word in the name of Jesus. God, you told us that we have the power to speak those things that be not as though they were, so we speak healing and health and wellness right now in the name of Jesus to that home, that that home would be covered and that no sickness would come back and return. We thank you that they're yet seeing the manifestation, God, even of your healing, God, that they're feeling better in their bodies, God. Thank you for that. We thank you that by your stripes, they're already healed. Anybody on this call needing to be healed, God, we trust and believe, God, that you are the balm of Gilead and that we are healed because of what you did for us on Calvary. We thank you for Tanya and lifting up Robert Hodges and that he would have his complete healing. You already realize, God, what's going on with his body because you made his body, God, and you have the ability to cause it to line up in the proper way that you caused it to function. So for that, we thank you in advance, God. For any unspoken prayer requests, God, we pray that you continue to meet the need because you are a need-meeting God. You supply all of our needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus, God, that you are our source and our resource. And for that, we thank you. We thank you for salvation as it keeps coming to my mind for someone's mother, God, I can't call her, Ashlyn, God, thank you that you know. But Ashlyn's mother, even in the midst of your healing her, God, and I remember she called out that she's praying for someone, God, thank you for tugging on her heart. And then thank you for tugging on the heart of her mother's best friend, God, as they're going through this difficult time of sickness, God, that you would touch their hearts even the more, God. Nobody can come to you unless you first draw them in. So I thank you for drawing them in for salvation. Anybody else on this call who's praying for salvation, God, for their loved ones, I thank you, God, that you have an appointed time for them to come in. And I pray, God, you said that the ones that have loved ones, that their household would be saved because of the way, God, that we belong to you, and then you answer our prayers and you know our desires for them to be saved, God. So it's just a matter of time that we stand on your word for their salvation, God. We thank you that you, God, told us, God, to pray that you would do and deliver and send forth because you're able, God. So even when we don't know, when we don't understand, when it doesn't look like it, God, we still yet trust you, God. We pray for all the saints, God, as everybody is joining together, God, to come before you, to worship you, God, that we would show up in your house, God, with that intent, yes, to worship you, God, to have our minds focused on you, God, to come in and get what we need, God, so that we can continue on this journey. And we thank you, finally, for our children, God, that you would bless our children, God, that you would strengthen all of our children, God, that you would give them wisdom. For everyone that has a child, God, that you would show them, God, that they are somebody in you, God, that you would let them know, God, that they can do all things through you, God, that you would let them know, God, that they could be whatever they dream and desire to be because you're planting those desires in them. And for that, we thank you. We thank you that we're calling forth leaders, God. We're calling forth teachers and pastors and bishops, and we're calling forth doctors and lawyers and scientists, God, and even those jobs that don't have the fame and the glory, God, that they would be consistent, God, and they would be dependable, God, and that they would do what you've created them to do. In the name of Jesus, thank you for the vision that you've given Dion, God, on this call, and we thank you that you're continuing to bless her. We thank you that you're continuing to bless even Tammy, who started this journey with her. We thank you for everybody that continues to show up every single day, day after day, and for even those that don't show up every day, God, that you would bless and bless indeed like never before, God, that you would continue to open up our eyes of understanding, that we would see you clearly in our ears, God, that we would hear what you're saying because you're speaking even now to our spirits. For that, we love you. We thank you, Father, and I bless you as I pass the call.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, as we continue in prayer, Lord Jesus, we again say thank you, Lord, for all that you have done for us, Lord Jesus. We thank you that you have honored so many of our prayers, Lord Jesus, and that you have healed so many of those who were sick, Lord Jesus, and that you blessed people with houses and jobs, God. And God, we just say thank you today. We bless you, Lord Jesus, that people have enough sense, God, to ask for prayer, because we at times don't know where to go, but we always know that we can bring our petition to you because your word says that you hear us, God, and that we don't serve a God that doesn't know what we're going through, Lord Jesus. And today, God, my position is to lift up our nation, Lord Jesus, God. We have a lot of civil unrest, Lord, and there's so many people, Lord God, who don't have a right perspective of who you are, Lord. There are prejudices, and God, we have people who are still, Lord God, steeped in racism. God, there's still people who are burning churches. There are still people who persecute Christians because they say they are Christians, Lord God, and kill them, Lord. We thank you today that we personally may not have experienced that, God. We may have experienced prejudice on another hand, but God, we thank you today that we have not experienced that kind of thing. God, there is someone who is in the midst of losing their life and who is in captivity because they said they were a Christian. Lord God, we don't always know what we might do if we faced with that. Lord God, I hope that we would lift high the banner that you have over us, and that's love, and that we would open our mouths and say who we are and who we represent. But God, I ask that you go to the prison cell, Lord Jesus, God, wherever the detainment center, wherever they are, God, and to strengthen them now in the name of Jesus, God, that even as they walk this thing out, Lord God, that we glory and that we celebrate their faith on this morning, God.
The doctor said probably won't feel today. Better until Wednesday because it's a respiratory God. Infection and it's going around.
Yeah.
God, we bless you for their tenacity, God, and we thank you for their faith, Lord Jesus. God, I pray right now for Boko Haram, Lord Jesus, the militant group that sole purpose is to kill Christians. And we read in the papers, God, and we hear it on the news, Lord Jesus, that they're killing them in the street and they stop people who they want to stay Muslim and who have switched to Christianity, God. They ask them, who do they serve? What are they? God, and they shoot them right there. Lord, I'm praying for Boko Haram, Lord Jesus, that they will be saved, God, and that this cancer would be stamped out right now in the name of Jesus. God, I pray for those who are in Ethiopia, Lord God, who are killed by the droves, Lord Jesus, who are driven from their homes, God, who are driven to the street, Lord Jesus, and massively executed, Lord God, to the children of these people, Lord God, who have fled to the street, God, and who have to raise themselves, God, and oftentimes they don't even have any food, and that you have children who are raising children. God, my heart goes out to them. Our hearts go out to them this morning, Lord Jesus, that we're praying for every lost child who have lost their parents, Lord God, because of their faith. And even here, Lord Jesus, the massive killings, God, to the children who have to go into the system, Lord God, because of their parents' faith. Lord God, I thank you for the covering that you have over our homes, Lord Jesus. God, in the covering that you have over our lives, Lord Jesus, that is some atrocities we will not have to experience, Lord Jesus. But God, I thank you that our heartstrings are tied, Lord Jesus, to our brothers and sisters in the faith, Lord God, who have to walk this walk, Lord. God, the calling on their life is to become to stand in that type of breach. God, we thank you, God, that we haven't had to do that, God, but our hearts are tied to them, Lord Jesus. And we would be remiss, Lord Jesus, if we didn't mention them and hold them up in prayer, Lord God, that that their lives, Lord Jesus, God, and the life that they live will not be in vain. God, we thank you. God, even for those who died trying to migrate here to this land, God. I read it was over 700 people drowned. Lord Jesus, trying to get here to the United States because of our freedom. God, and what they see that's going on here, Lord Jesus, they desire, and yet we live here and we have complained, Lord, about so many things, Lord God. And they come here with an expectation to have a much better life. God, watch over the loved ones of these people, Lord God, those who sent their children, Lord God, on this ship, this vessel, Lord God, that didn't make it. God, I ask that you watch over them, God, those who are in mourning this morning, God, because they have lost their loved ones, God, who wanted to come here for freedom. God, I thank you, though, Lord Jesus, because we recognize that the United States is supposed to be the home of the free and the brave, Lord Jesus. God, I thank you that it just might be, Lord God, that they see an expression of you, God, that they see a dominant image, Lord God, in the United States, and that is a Christian fellowship, God, that we are a Christian nation, Lord Jesus, God, that they see the lives of those, Lord God, who decided that we wanted to live for you, God, and we bless you today. God, I thank you that they're stamping out hunger everywhere, Lord Jesus, for the saints who give their money, God, to charities, Lord Jesus, that help to answer questions in other nations, Lord Jesus, where there is hunger, Lord God. We couldn't imagine, Lord Jesus, hunger and drought, God, and we hear of it on TV, Lord Jesus, where East Bay wants to say that we have to watch water in our cars and our lawns, Lord God, but there's somewhere where someone can't even turn on a faucet. We can't even imagine that, God, but I thank you today that there are dollars, that there are organizations, Lord Jesus. I pray that you would open up a floodgate, Lord Jesus, of finances, Lord Jesus, so that people can have fresh running water, God, even more, Lord God, that our dollars will go even further, Lord God. I thank you because your word was sent and all their disease was healed. It wasn't just, God, the physical body, but I know it was their land, Lord Jesus, the land, Lord God, the thinking, all of that, God. So just send your word, Lord Jesus, that others' disease, not just ours, but places where we haven't visited, places that we haven't even stepped on the soil, Lord Jesus, that their disease may be healed, Lord God, their affliction may be healed, God, that even the AIDS will be stopped, Lord Jesus, God, stamped out, Lord God, with no residue left, Lord Jesus, where the rapes of small girls, Lord Jesus, and they end up with disease, Lord God, and then it spread that way, God, where they're left in the jungles, where militant men are raping them, Lord God, and cutting off their feet, Lord Jesus, and cutting off their, God, you know, God, I pray for the salvation, God, of ISIS, Lord Jesus, God, that something will happen, God, and their lives will be changed. Their lives will be turned around, Lord God. Boko Haram, that something will be said, God, and their lives will be turned around, God, that they will be saved. God, we thank you today, and we praise you, Lord Jesus. God, we thank you for the amenities that we have in our lives, God, and at times when we want to complain, God, for that the house is too cold, Lord Jesus, God, we're reminded that we didn't sleep outside. God, we bless you when we want to say that our steak is overcooked. God, someone is only enjoying a cup of grain this morning or just some rice with nothing in it. When we may say something is bland, they don't even have salt and pepper. God, we bless you this morning for what you have given us. We thank you for the door that you have opened and that we live here, Lord Jesus. God, and I thank you that you have given us a heart, God, and that we cry out for the nation, God. And we bless you. God, I thank you because you're yet moving and we've seen you move. God, I bless your name, God, because I've seen you turn some things around. God, I thank you because I've seen you turn a whole nation around, Lord Jesus. God, I've seen you turn South Africa around. God, we saw it, God. So we believe you in this also, that, you know, it's nothing too hard for you. And we give your name the glory, and we give you all the praise as I pass the call.
So, Father God, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you. Once again, we just bless your name this morning for being a great and a sovereign God. We give your name all the glory this morning, God. I thank you for every prayer that has gone forth, God. I thank you for every petition, every heartfelt idea that you are well able to do exceeding and abundantly above and beyond anything we could ever think, hope for, or imagine. God, I thank you for the word on this morning. I thank you for the other side of grace. I thank you for our intended tests and trials so they come only to make us strong. God, I thank you for the strength that you're giving us through every situation and circumstance. But most of all, God, I thank you for an opportunity for us to be increased in faith. Lord God, as we face multiple scenarios, God, some more diverse than others, God, we thank you for our afflictions, for the work of patience in us, God. We thank you for our tests and our trials, our tribulations, God. We thank you for our thorns this morning, God, that they were all created to help us to realize how your grace is sufficient. And so, God, we thank you that you will continue to bless the nations. God, continue to bless our cities. God, continue to bless our government. God, continue to bless every person connected to this call, God, that we can be a part of the shift and the change expected in our culture, expected in our cities, expected in our governments, God, expected in our churches. God, this morning, I feel a special burden for those that have been hurt in the church, God. I am just lifting up the people who have experienced unrest in the body of Christ, Lord, that there be no bitter root set up, that there be no angst and no frustration, God, that people won't be turned away from the church so that the effectual fervent prayers, God, that would avail as much be hindered. God, touch their hearts and their minds. Let them re-experience not church, Lord God, but relationship and what relationship and cultivating relationship actually does. God, send a massive healing to your people. Send a healing like a mighty rushing wind, Lord God, and then send somebody to speak into the lives of those that are offenders. God, send somebody to remind them of who they are and what their purpose is, God. Help us to love one another more. Help us to be kind and considerate. Help us, Lord God, to be loving and genuine. Help us to be authentic in our we, God. Help us not to be substandard, and help our expectations to be increased, that your people be increased, that your body be increased, that your church be built, that the foundation is sure because it's based on you and your laws and your rules, God, and even your grace. God, help us to remember that it is not about us. God, help us to remember that your grace is all that we need, God, and that even those turbulent times, even those times we don't understand, even those things, Lord, that make us uncomfortable beyond measure, Lord, that they were all created, that your grace be identified in our lives. God, we thank you for not allowing us to be destroyed while we were stuck in the world. God, we thank you that because your grace was sufficient, we have another opportunity to get this thing called love and life right. God, help our character and our integrity to line up with your perfect will for our lives. God, help us to reflect on yesterday, that tomorrow be full of your joy. God, help us to stand firm in the freedom wherewith we were saved. God, help us to resemble what your idea of the body of Christ was. God, help us not to be so consumed with the things that we see around us that are intended to be distraction. God, but let it illuminate our path, that path of righteousness that you called us to. God, your word declares that I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed beg bread. Help us not to worry about the things of today, for this day will take care of itself. God, bless every single family represented on this call. Bless our children, God. Bless our hearts and minds. God, bless marriages. God, and those that are single, God, sustain us in the name of Jesus. Help us to be committed to the commitment, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Help us to be committed
to living a right life before you, that you be honored, God, that you be glorified. God, for our children that are in prison, God, bless them and bless them indeed. And as they sit, God, minister to them, God. Lord, speak to their spirit. Speak to their heart in the name of Jesus. For those that are not saved, God, that we love, God, that you sent us to be a light to, God, trouble the waters. In the name of Jesus, your word declares none can come lest they be drawn. God, send a drawing spirit in the name of Jesus. God, we pray for worshipers everywhere. God, that you would begin to manifest yourself. God, that you pour out your spirit this morning. God, that somebody that needs to be healed, delivered and set free, oh God, will walk into a climate conducive of healing in the name of Jesus. God, then bless LaVell as he goes to speak to your people. God, let them have a light on the inside of themselves, oh God, using like never before. God, send your power in the name of Jesus. I pray for Coleman, God. I pray for Pat Foster this morning. God, I pray for Sean Mapp this morning. God, I pray for Leggett this morning and Rondell Leggett, God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, I pray for Zachary Carey. God, I pray for Hall in the name of Jesus. God, I pray for Santo Howard this morning. God, send your power this morning that people would be set free, healed, and delivered, oh, God. Lord, let church not just be average today. God, but let the people that have relationships be bold and come before your throne of grace with worship. God, that we'd enter your gates with thanksgiving in our hearts and enter your courts with praise, oh God. Let your people stand fast on the promises of God, for they are yes and amen. God, and as we begin to take our phones off mute, we will celebrate you for being a great God, for being a gracious God. We thank you for your grace this morning. God, we thank you for your mercy this morning in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your keeping power, oh God. We thank you for never changing your mind about your grace toward us, oh God. We thank you for the petitions, God. We thank you, Lord God, that you are interceding on the right hand of the Father on our behalf this morning, God. Bless us indeed, God. We call you a mighty God. We call you a holy God this morning. We call you righteous God. We call you El Shaddai. We call you El Elyon God. We call you the bright and morning star. God, we call you the lily of the valley God. We thank you this morning for mercy God. We thank you this morning that you woke us up God. We thank you this morning God that it's because of you God that we live, we move, and we have our being. God, we love you this morning. God, we bless you this morning. We give your name the glory, God. We give your name the honor. We give your name all the praise this morning, God. For surely you are great and greatly to be praised. God, there's none before you, and there will be none after you, God. Therefore, we know you are the true and living God. We thank you, Lord God, that the grave couldn't hold you, oh God. We thank you, Lord God, that no weapon this morning formed against us will prosper, oh God. We thank you this morning that the steps of a righteous man are ordered by God. And we thank you in advance, oh God, for ordering our steps,
Jesus.
We thank you for ordering our steps this morning, God, and for being a keeper of those who desire to be kept. Lord, it could have been us, Lord. We could have been on the news this morning, but it was your grace that was sufficient for us. God, it could have been us this morning that somebody was asking to pray for, Lord God, of a Reed family, but your grace and your mercy is sufficient. It could have been us, oh God. As somebody was traveling on the highway and byway, God, somebody could have seen yellow tape around us, but God, you woke us up. God, by your grace and your mercy, which is sufficient, God, so we thank you this morning. God, we thank you that you are constant in our lives, God, that you never change your mind about how you feel about us, God, that there are no conditions or stipulations, oh, God. And I don't know about anybody else this morning, but I'm grateful this morning. I'm grateful for another opportunity to stand in the presence of my King. I don't know about anybody else this morning, but I want allow a rock to cry out in my stead. Not this morning, God. Thank you that you've been gracious, God. I thank you for everything that you've shown me, God, about how your power is in my favor, God. I bless your name this morning, that nevertheless, God, in spite of and regardless to, yet will I praise you, oh God. Yet will I praise you, God. I thank you this morning that no situation or circumstance determines your manner, God. Oh, I bless you this morning. 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 Hallelujah, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Glory, oh, God, glory. Bless Hallelujah. Your name this morning. God, you're worthy
Thank
this
you,
morning. You're worthy
you.
This morning. God, you're worthy this morning.
Thank you, God.
God, you're worthy this morning. God, you're worthy this morning. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Oh, God, you're worthy.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, God, you're worthy.
Yes,
you're worthy. God, if you didn't do anything else, I just thank you because of who you are, oh, God.
Yes,
I thank you because of who you are. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you because of who you are, God.
Yes, Lord.
I thank you because of who you are this morning, God. God, go with us this day. Give us traveling grace, God. Keep us from all hurt, harm, and danger, God. Thank you this morning. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, God, that you lift up a standard against him. God, I even thank you for the permission that the enemy has to ask for before he tests us. God, that you've given us what we need to survive. God, that you've given us what we need to press and to push, God, and to be what you called us to be, God. That it gives us character, God.
Jesus,
I thank you this morning. I thank you this morning. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I give your name all the glory and all the praise. It's in the mighty name of Jesus.
Jesus.
That we ask it all. Amen. God, thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Awesome. 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 Is there anyone that joined the line late that didn't get a chance to say good morning? Now is your time. Or first of all, before you come, is there any new callers? Any new callers on the line? We welcome you. All right. If not, if you joined the line late, now is your chance to say good morning.
Good morning, morning. This is Barbara.
Good morning,
Miss Barbara. Good morning,
Miss Dee Dee. Good morning,
Miss Patty. Good morning.
Good morning, family, Miss D.
Good morning, Miss D.
Good morning, Miss Janet.
Good morning, Miss Janet.
Good morning, Mrs. Carolyn.
Okay, Miss Carolyn, there was a guy. Who was that?
It was Carolyn Larry.
Oh, Carolyn Larry.
Good morning, Miss
All right, Brother Larry. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Anybody else?
Mrs. Kedra.
Good morning, Miss Kedra.
Good morning.
Anybody else?
Good morning, Miss Sarah.
This is Ruth. Good morning, everybody.
Tell that baby we said hey to, whoever that baby was.
Good morning, Miss Michelle.
Anyone else? All
right. Hey, Cheryl.
Huh?
I said, hey, Cheryl, girl. Didn't nobody say hi to my Cheryl.
Hey, Cheryl, girl. Okay. All right. All right. There's no one else. Again, I want to recap and thank Bubbly for your greetings and opening up, and Sister Tracy with those scriptures, Sister Lisa Porter, thank you for your prayers, and Sister Rivonda, thank you. And then our own Sister Dion, thank you for jumping in and filling in the gap. How is everybody doing this morning? Well, if y'all ain't doing good, I'm doing good. I'm going to be doing good for everybody today. Because I ain't going to be stuck in y'all if y'all ain't going to say good morning to me. All right. Was there anything that jumped out at anybody for the declaration this morning? Was there anything you noticed or you liked or you want to ask or anything like that? Anybody? No, so I guess ain't nobody got a thorn in the flesh. I mean, God is just blessing everybody. Ain't nobody dealing with nothing. Ain't nobody struggling with nothing. Just nothing. We just floating around like leaves blowing capriciously in the wind, huh?
Well, God, he trusts us with his, he trusts us with our pain so that we can be the megaphone for him, that we will have testimonies and we will go out and let everyone know that by his grace, that's the reason why we survived everything that looked like was going to take us out.
Right, and I hear you, Gail. I hear you and I understand, but let's be realistic with it, okay? Let's be realistic, because even though Paul had a thorn in his flesh, he said every day it bothered him. Every day he struggled with this thing. And he went to the Lord. The Bible said he went there three times, asking him to remove the thorn. So even though God trusts us with pain, we don't have to like it. I mean, we deal with it because we've got no choice to deal with it. But I don't think there's anybody. My thorn in the flesh is losing my son. And I know I talk about this all the time, but that's my thorn in my flesh, of losing my child. And I don't like it, but guess what I got to do? I got to deal with it. Because I ain't, when I'm asking God for my child back, Lord, give my son back, God is saying, nope, sorry, request denied. Why? Because my grace is sufficient enough for you. So is there anybody here dealing right now with a set of circumstances? Now understand something about circumstances. A lot of us deal with stuff that we didn't even ask for. So is there anybody here dealing with something? I mean, you're dealing with a hard-hearted issue right now. It could be a child. It could be a job. It could be a health issue. And I know God bless you, Gail, and healed your body and stuff. But is there anybody here dealing with anything? Anybody?
Even though God has healed me, I still have to press forward and keep praising him, even in the middle. Chance is like a mystery. You never know when it's going to show up again. So I still have to press through and praise him, even when I don't know what's going to happen. I just praise him anyway, no matter what he's done for me. He continues to do it anyway. And because he has healed me, that does not mean that I have to stop praying and praising him. Even if I go through, it's a continuous battle. Even if it plagues me again, I'm going to praise him in the middle of it all. That's what grace is for me. I don't know whether it's answered your question or not, but it's not
and
over.
You know what, Gail? I like that, and that is so true. But I had to, first doing the declarations on this line, I had to learn something. And Dion taught me something in that. And she said, Lavelle, it wasn't Pastor, it was Lavelle, everybody ain't where you at. There's somebody's dealing with it or somebody's going through it and don't know how to deal with it. Gail is totally right. I mean, I don't take that away from you or anything. She's totally right. But there may be somebody here asking God, God, why am I going through what I'm going through as much as I'm going through? And God, when is it going to move? When is it going to change? When is it going to turn? Is there anybody there like that?
Well, this is Patty, and I would say that I feel like in all areas of my life, that's a question that I have asked, and, you know, many, many times. I will say to you also that I know that God is dealing with me in all the areas. You know, why why did things happen the way they happened with my son? I mean, you just can't keep beating that up. I had to give that to the Lord and trust that he's going to take care of my son, and every step that he takes is the same as with, you know, when is my journey going to elevate and when am I going to graduate to the next level of where you are taking me, Lord? I mean, I feel like I'm praying for that on a daily basis. Do I stop? Nope. But you got to still keep going. And I believe that you, there has to come a point in time where your prayer changes and you are trusting that the Lord is going to do what he promised that he was going to do. You have to begin to change, or at least for me, I'll say, I had to begin to change my prayer and know that God, first of all, he knows what's going on. He knows the situation. So he's going to move me. He says that he's going to take care of all of my cares, cast them all to you. So for me, yes, I go through the struggle, and it is a struggle with every, you know, the things, all different parts of areas in my life. But I think that as I grow in him, as I mature in him, my prayer becomes different. It's not, the, you know what I'm saying? Yes, I go through heartache and I go through pain. You guys have all heard me, but I also feel like as I mature in him, God begins to touch me in those areas, and I can change my prayer. I'm not begging anymore. I don't feel desperate anymore. I mean, I had to give it to him. I feel like I gave it to him. I don't know if that's what you're asking for, but that's
right.
What I heard in the question.
Right, right, and I understand. But and I'm going to deal with this next week. The pathos and the ethos in which Paul prayed, I can only imagine him begging God. I can only imagine him crying out to God, saying, Lord, please, Lord, remove this thought. Lord, please. I mean, I can imagine him because I'm going to kind of repeat this, but if you want your prayers to mean anything to God, they got to mean everything to you.
Mm-hmm. LaBelle. This is Ravonda.
Wait. Hold on. Go ahead. Ravonda, go ahead.
Thank you for the declaration this morning. I had a incident that reminded me of my thorn this week. And I was sitting in my car, and the person who shot at me, and people hear me talk about this. I haven't really talked about it in depth, but one of the things I had to do was go to counseling. This happened over 6 years ago, and I never got counseling for it, and I thought I was handling it right, just in God's face. I mean, crying every night. Could hear the bullets fresh. God, when is this going to stop? When is this going to end? And I remember telling you all that I finally got some help to get counseling for it, go twice a week. I was sitting in the car the other day eating a taco and waiting for my client to come, and the person drives by because they've been out of prison now. July will be 3 years. And I turned my head because I saw his face, and I knew that he was probably trying to get my attention. I turned, and I felt my heart race. And I had to breathe real deeply because, again, I didn't want it to play over freshly in my mind, because I'm doing the work as much as I can to deal with it in the natural. And the peace that God has given me about that situation is this, that I'm able to write about it and not relive it again. And the time that it has taken just to live with the incident happening, it's very challenging. It had been very challenging. It still is a challenge. And I live every day by the grace of God. I get up every day by the grace of God, and I thank him for just bringing me through the time. He's changed how I viewed what has happened, because I mourn for the loss of time, the space of time that I lost after that. And I didn't think that anything was really, really wrong. And God, what does all this pain mean? And I have seen what type of woman has molded me to be. the compassion that I have for people who have gone through the same kind of atrocities, whatever. You love someone and they want to kill you. It's kind of crazy, you know. But the time that I had lost really was the part that I mourned. You know, that how long am I supposed to be right here? How long am I supposed to deal with this pain right here, God? Because at times it was unbearable. You may have lost a son, but I lost that time, you know, where it was moments where I would wake up and my thoughts were not even right. You know, today I'm so grateful, you know, because it keeps me grounded. It keeps me in God's faith, you know. And when you talk about having a praying, just having a praying spirit, it isn't even about just stopping and having prayer, but it's riding down the street. God, I thank you that I'm able to breathe. Oh, God, I thank you. I thank you that I can see this today and I can answer to my name. You know, I thank God for my thorn. It doesn't feel good. I'm thankful. I'm thankful. I'm thankful because I do have my life. It doesn't feel good, but I know what it's for because it does keep me in his face. It keeps me in his, it keeps me in his face. It keeps me dependent on him because there's so much stuff that we feel we can do in our own strength. You know, but it's in that weakness that I know I need him every day. Thank you for your declaration this morning.
Amen. Great. Awesome. Okay, who was after Levon?
That was me, Sanai Jay.
Go ahead, Sanai Jay.
Good morning. Yes, my thorn is when I do still, even though I'm trusting God, but I still have my cry out and asking the Lord to free my son. My son is facing the death penalty right now, and that's a thorn in my side right now because it's just the waiting period and going through and the thought of thinking that there's a great possibility that he will never get out of jail, and or you know the thought is okay, maybe he may beat the death penalty, but then he may spend his life in jail, and he'll never be able to come home to be a father to his child. I will never be able to hug him again, and you know it's all those things that go on. So it's times that I have my times where I'm strong and I'm believing, I'm trusting God, but then I have my times where I'm falling down on my knees and I'm crying, snot crying, like, Lord, please, you know, get my son out of this.
Wow, and I understand that. And sometimes, I'm just telling my stuff for next week. Sometimes you got to get ugly in prayer. You're totally right. Sometimes you've got to get ugly in prayer. And that's precisely the point. And you're right. One thing that we do need to understand, as Ravonda said, as Tina just said, your thorn may not be my thorn and my thorn may not be yours or what have you. And we can't judge or put thorns into superlative degrees, if you will. We can't put mine higher than yours, yours higher than mine. Whatever your thorn is, it bothers you. It hurts you, you know. And watch this, because Paul, y'all, he was successful. He was successful. And what God had to do was allow the leader to bleed. He had to allow him to bleed in order for people to see that he's just a man. And so that's why we should never put people on pedestals. We should never put even our pastors on pedestals. Because, as I said in the declaration, we have a strong hero need. America needs somebody to idolize all the time. I mean, America's number one show is what? American Idol. You know, we need somebody to idolize. But the only one that belongs on a pedestal is God. That's the only one you should be lifting up. You should never be lifting up man, no matter what. Do not lift up man, because God will allow the leader to bleed. And when Paul experienced that kind of ministerial success, it was easy for him to get the big-headed. It was easy for him to get the big-headed. So God said, wait a minute, no, I'm going to make sure you don't get the big head. I'm going to make sure that you don't get the big head. I'm going to make sure that I bring you back down the side. That's why he said it was given. Watch this. Not only, he said, it's a gift to me. Somebody gave me this.
Somebody gave this thing to me. I didn't ask for this, but it was a gift to me. And he said it was an emissary of Satan that was sent to buffet me, to hit me. And I said what buffet meant to hit with a shark-like object, like a blow. And that's what he was doing. He was literally as Gail said, the reason God allowed him to do it was because God can trust you with trouble. Isn't that a blessing? That he can trust you with trouble? That's why you're going through what you're going through, because he can trust you with trouble. A lot of people he can't trust with trouble. And then you should never, never brag about the devil doesn't bother you. If you brag about the devil doesn't bother you, it could mean that you and the devil are moving in the same direction. Anybody else want to share?
Good morning. This is Sister Tracy.
Good morning, Sister Tracy.
Good morning. So I'm being transparent because thank you, first of all, for your declaration. And, you know, being in a blended family, my thorn in my side right now, and I have prayed, and you guys have prayed for me right now, is my stepdaughter. And it's extremely uncomfortable because I don't understand. Well, I do understand, but in the beginning I was like, Lord, I don't understand why she's so mean to me. I don't understand. I've never done anything to harm her or disrespect her, but I know that it has to do with the fact that it was just her and her daddy before I got married, and now you have someone coming in, and, you know, it's the jealousy and so on and so forth to the point where we are getting ready to go back to family counseling. And I'm just, you know, I just have to stay on my face and I have to stay prayerful. It's extremely uncomfortable. Yes, it is. It's uncomfortable. When I tell you uncomfortable, it's extremely uncomfortable. And then one day I was praying and I heard God say, you know, that's your assignment. And I'm like, but I, you know, sometimes God assigns stuff to us. And I'm like, but I just don't understand. Not that I don't understand. I'm like, okay. I have to find a way to break through. And what one of those things are is with prayer and just trusting God that everything is going to work itself out, because everything is timing and everything is seasonal. And sometimes we want it when we want it right now, and that's not the way it is. So just keep me lifted up in prayer.
Right. I know you're like, God, wait a minute. I didn't ask for this. I didn't ask for this, and you said something. You just hit the nail on the head with something. It's seasonal, but watch this. Anything that's seasonal is going to sooner or later run out. It's going to sooner or later run out. So that's the blessing to know. All right. Is there anybody else?
Yes, Sister Carolyn.
Talk to me, Sister
Carolyn. Yes. Thank you, Pastor Lavelle. Thank you for your declaration to see the other side of grace. Oh, God, what a blessing to me. It just made me think about how I've been praying for my husband for so many years, and in 2013, I just said, Lord, just save him. I'm all in. I accept no change. I remember saying that and standing on that and praying for him, and God is bringing him. Amen. He's been baptized, he's, you know, in fellowship. But I'm like, Lord, it's still not right. He needs to surrender. He needs to run to sobriety. But a time of alcohol ain't that easy, I know. But I remember praying the other day, like, Lord, I'm at the place. I'm like, this is a rare prayer, but it comes from time. If nothing ever changes, if the purpose of this union is just for you, that I'm the vessel you want me to be, the wife you want me to be, then I accept that. Oh, God. It'll come, and I'm like, oh, God, I don't know, can I handle it? But that's that other side of grace, that God can give me, you know, the strength I need to walk anyway, to love anyway, if nothing ever changes. If he's still the same, Jekyll and Hyde, if he's still the same, can I love him? So pray for me.
Praise God. Praise God.
Praise God. And see, that's what we always want to do. We want to talk about the saving grace of God. But there's another side of grace, thank you, that you just talked about, that we don't like to talk about, the sustaining grace of God. Because though he saves us, yeah, he will sustain us if we're willing to go through. And that, mm-hmm, and that's the whole point. You've got to be willing to go through. I mean, you got to deal with it. I mean, you got to deal with it. I know my mom, my dad, you know, those of you know, my dad and my sister passed 2 days apart, so I had a funeral, a double funeral for my dad and my sister. And my mom, she didn't want to deal with my dad's illness. She didn't want to deal with it, and she kept saying, I didn't sign up for this. And I know that was her weak moment, but I told her, she got upset with me. I said, Mom, yes, you did. She said, what do you mean? I said, when you pledged the vow, God never told you he was going to be healthy his whole life, you know, and now he's 83 years old, and dementia is setting in and all of that. God never said he was going to be always healthy and stuff. And she said, I know, but I just don't want to deal with it. I just don't want to deal with it. So sometimes you just got to deal with it.
Yes,
and that's what Paul had to learn. Regardless of what happened, he had to deal with it. A lot of us don't want to deal with it. A lot of us want God to move it now. But sometimes you don't need God to move the mountain. You just need to ask him to give you strength to climb.
Amen. Thank you.
You know, sometimes he won't take the thorn out of your flesh, but he'll give you some grace to help you deal with the thorn in your flesh.
Amen.
Sometimes he may not give you a new job. Sometimes he may let you put up with the folks on the job. In essence, he's never too early, he's never too late. Whenever he shows up, he's always on time.
Amen. Thank you so much. God bless you.
You know, right. I think that's important for us to know. The reason he delayed at the Red Sea is because he wanted to drown Pharaoh's army. I mean, he could have delivered Joseph before Joseph went in the pit, but he wanted to show he could take it from the pit to Potiphar's house, from Potiphar's house all the way to the prison. He could have delivered John when John was on the Isle of Patmos, but John said, I discovered why he didn't deliver me. He said, why? Because I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard a voice behind me like the sound of a trumpet, and I turned, and it was Jesus, because he wanted me to see a new Jerusalem coming out of heaven where there's no more sickness and no more pain. Y'all, so sometimes you just got to deal with it. I wish you'd touch your neighbor and tell him, deal with it, deal with it, deal with it, deal with it, deal with it. Sometimes you got to deal with it. Anyone else? Anyone else want to share? Where's my sister Dee Dee? My sister Dee Dee ain't shared yet.
Well, this is Miss D, Minister.
Hey,
Howard.
Miss D.
You know, I'm saying a thorn that I continuously pray about is acceptance of my God-given gifts. I struggle, and it's okay that I struggle because it keeps me close to God. It keeps me connected. The places I've been privileged to be at, the tables he set me at, it's all his work. And I go in so underestimating what God has put in me and how he lives in me that sometimes I don't open my mouth. Sometimes I hold back what I know I'm being led to do. But that is the purpose that keeps me. It's always at me. You know, I go to these different meetings and classes and seminars with people who have masters in divinity, and I'm sitting in a room and I understand, and I can communicate, but my own self comes up, and I have to go in prayerfully. I mean, I'll be praying in my car, you know, God, give me the courage to go in this door, give me the courage to stick this out, let me decrease, you know, you increase, you walk me through this. And every day he shows me his greatness in me, and that's one of my biggest things, and it has been. The thorn for me is something that just didn't show up. This has been with me all the time. even when I was lost, this same thorn of my own ability and trust and faith in God to get me to the next place. It's been there as far back as I can remember. And when I look at my journals and I see my life passage, because I started writing when I was in, you know, my preteens, and I still have that stuff. So sometimes I glance and I look and I see that same common thread up until this very day. So that's my thorn, and I'm grateful for it. I mean, it's uncomfortable, but it's what keeps me near the cross. It keeps me connected to the vine that I can produce good fruit, because when I disconnect, I'm no good. Thank you so much for your share. I thank God for his grace and mercy over our lives this morning. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Ms. D. When I was researching that what Paul's thorn was, there was so much speculation of what his thorn was. Do you know today people speculate about you every day? They speculate about you every day on why you got what you got or how you can do what you do or whatnot. And the truth of the matter is, we really don't know what Paul's thorn was, and it really ain't important that we know what his thorn was. You know, theologians and people, and Ms. D is a theologian too, so I can say this to her and in front of her, I should say. That's just like everybody was trying to figure out in John chapter 3 why Nicodemus came to Jesus at night. What difference does it make that he came to Jesus at night? The fact is that he came, right? So I'm saying regardless of how you got what you got or how you doing what you're doing, God is permitting you to do it. So if God is permitting you to do it, it must mean God can trust you with it or handle you with it. So Paul had so many haters, y'all, because remember, he changed sides. I mean, he was a hardened opponent of the church. I mean, he was literally killing Christians, but now he didn't quit dancing. He just changed partners. So is there anybody else? Anybody else want to share? Anybody else? Because we're going to close this a little early today so we can all get ready for worship. Anybody else? You're dealing with that thorn. What is your thorn? Are you transparent enough to talk with us and tell us what your thorn is, what you're dealing with? Some of you are living with an unfaithful husband. I don't know who you are. God knows. Somebody's dealing with a mean and unsubmissive wife. Somebody's dealing with the unspeakable. There's incest in your family. Somebody's in a storm now because there's been rape in your family. Don't y'all know the storms come suddenly in our life? If you take a note from the disciples in Mark chapter 4, those were experienced fishermen and seafarers. They knew better than to get out on the sea and see the dark clouds climb. They knew that if a storm was coming, you take high ground. But there wasn't a cloud in the sky, so they pushed out from the bank and got out in the middle of the sea, and a storm came out of nowhere. Anybody? Anybody else?
Hey, this is Valuable Valisita.
Go ahead,
and,
Valuable Val.
I'd say my thorn would be the challenges with my son and his behavior and academics. And, you know, there's times where it seems like the more I pray, the more calls and emails I get from the teachers. You know, there's been times when I've been on my knees at home praying and the phone will ring and it's an issue with him. So that's been the challenge, and it's been that way since probably second grade, and he's now in the eighth grade. So, but I continue to pray. I still praise during the pain.
Amen, amen. Press your way. Press your way. Amen. Thank you for sharing, Valuable Pal. Anybody else?
Pastor Lavelle, this is Carolyn.
Hello, Miss Carolyn.
Good morning, and thank you so much for your declaration, which was very timely for me because I spent last night talking to the Lord about that very thing. I had a phone call last night from my thorn, which is my two children. I feel like I raised Cain and Abel in the form of a female and a male, and they were both calling me with their version of how they were going to kill each other, and they just couldn't do this, that, and the third. In the midst of that, they wanted to put me in the middle, and now I'm the fault. So I just said, you know what? No phone calls tonight. I got in my car. I went to the park. I talked to the Lord. I said, Lord, that's too much for me. That's not my thing. That's too much. And all I could hear him say was, Carolyn, let it go. let it go. So as I heard you this morning, I heard him say, let it go. My grace is sufficient for you. Let it go. Because I'm trying to fix something that only he can handle. Only he can deal with that. So I just have to learn how to stay in my place, find my lane, and not worry about all that construction that's going on that's trying to pull me under there. So I thank you for your timely message. And I thank Tracy because she said it's seasonal. This is this season. I've had other seasons, but they all seem to be related to family. So that seems to be my thorn, my family. But I thank God for his grace because it's not my battle now. I have to release it to him. And thank you, Pastor Lavelle.
Praise God for you. Praise God for you. Anyone else? Anyone else? I got a few more minutes.
Well, can I take up a few of your minutes?
Yeah, who this is?
This is the missus.
Well,
anyway.
Hello, missus.
Thank you. I was just listening to the declaration, and I enjoyed the declaration. But I was thinking back on like about 7 years ago when my husband was still living. I would have stepped out of the will of God. When my husband was diagnosed with prostate cancer, it kind of got my attention, you know. And he started to, you know, we was on drugs and all of this, but he had started to talk about, you know, trusting God and, you know, and giving God a chance in his life. So both of us repented at that moment and gave God our lives. So that got our attention. You know, God got our attention that way. I mean, you know, I think that was what really got our attention. But I then later on, as the years went by, I was thanking God because it helped us to get closer to him. It helped us to pray together. It helped us to grow together. It helped us to really focus on God more together. And then, you know, when he passed away, you know, he passed away, it just let me know that I could trust him, you know what I'm saying? God let me know that he wanted me to put totally trust in him and just believe in him that he was going to work everything out. And it kept me on my knees, and I thank God for that because it made me stronger. So I think a lot of our trials and a lot of our things that happen in our life, it just comes to make us stronger. So that's all I wanted to say.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Anyone else? Anyone else? Real quick, come on. I got a few more minutes. Thinking about the fact of...
Amen, thank you.
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Sister Carolyn, I just want to just add that I'm encouraged today because though I say, oh, Lord, I accept no change, I just want to be the vessel you have called me to be in this marriage of 25 years. And I'm, the other days I'm like, I can't take it. It got to be over now. I can't take it. It's too much pain. But I have to look at what God has done already. There is change. But, again, I have to stand willing to go the distance, whatever that distance is. And I'm encouraged today. Thank y'all. Everybody, thank you.
Amen. Praise God for you. Amen. All right, come on. I got about two more. Two more people need to share, and then I'm going to let you go.
Hi, Pastor Lavelle. It's Sister Cassandra.
Hey, go ahead.
I just wanted to say that I appreciate your declaration. And I appreciate the callers that spoke because I think one of the things that's the hardest for being a Christian is that sometimes you feel like you're the only one that's going through or you're the only one that has issues. So even though you know this will pass, even though you know whatever you're going through is seasonal, when you hear a lesson taught on it and when you hear others who went through or who are going through, it just gives you the strength to keep moving on, to keep trusting God. So I just want to thank you for that because sometimes you just need like a little snippet, just one more word, Lord. Just let me hear one more word. Let me hear one good word from you, Lord. Let me hear something. And I just want to thank you for that and the people that spoke because it was very encouraging, and I thank you for that this morning. So thank you.
Amen. All right. Okay, come on. I've got time for one more. Because Leticia done showed up to church on time today, so we're going to start church on time today because she's here. So, one more. Be transparent enough to share. Go ahead. Who is that?
This is Ruth. Good morning.
Go ahead, Miss Ruth. I need some fish. I need some fish after work this week. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Holler at me. Just holler at me. Hey, you know, I have a whole bunch of thorns, but I've just come to realize that most of them are temporary and that I'm going to be all right. God has answered some prayers already that just blew my mind, so I'm very grateful. And so, and he has a sense of humor because when I look at it, you know, because none of it's been overnight, but when a blessing finally come and, you know, I could see it and I just laugh. I say, you know, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit, because you've listened to me. So thank you for answering my prayers. Because that thing that I worried about, some of the things I've called in over the last year, they're done. They're done. And I actually wanted to take back some of the stuff that I've said. I know I couldn't, but I wanted to take back some of the things I said on this call because I realized it wasn't even worth it. It wasn't that important because those are the people that are dealing with things that are worse than me. But at that time, I was dealing with it, so I said it. But I thank God now that I've been delivered from it. But my thorn is my sister because we've tried over and over. I think I call Ms. D on this too. My sister's been on drugs over 20 years. And we tried counseling. We tried drug intervention, all type of things. But Ms. D told me if they don't want the help, then it's just, you know, it's just not worth it because I want more for her than she wants for herself. And now her daughter, who is 26, is on drugs, who has four kids, who my mom is now raising, who she depends on me to help. And that's fine. But now there's another baby coming, a baby boy, 6 months old, been in person foster care. He'll be here. They're bringing him to Sacramento this week. And my mom, I said, well, why did you take the baby? You already got three, you know, and you're keeping my niece's son. Why did you take another baby? She said, because I'm dependent on you and your sister to help. And I said, well, you didn't even ask me. I don't even know, you know, I didn't even know he was coming this week. What do you want me to do? You know, I work full-time. I have a 13-year-old who just this year, you know, her grades went from 0 to 100. I mean, she is like monitoring her GPA. I'm not saying I don't need any distractions, but I can't take in a 6-month-old baby. So my sister and her daughter, who was in Richmond, they got the whole day. They're just, you know, they're kicking it. They're not strung out on drugs. They on them, but they're not like, you know, they just don't want the responsibility. But that bothers me, and I was angry for a long time, and I went and asked my mom calls because I'm like, you know, if you make them do it, you know, or at least have them come down and live with you to, you know, to support it, take the kids to school, take them to the park, take them to the practices. I'll take them to church on Sundays, and they can come over on Saturdays. But why do they get to just live free willy-nilly and don't do nothing? So, again, this week this baby is coming. I don't know how much time I can help my mom with, but I just don't understand it. So, you know, I'm just going to search around for some daycares and see. I'm going to do all that I can. But I just, you know, I'm a little frustrated with my sister because I know that they're not, you know, they can do it. They can at least give. I told them, give a day. Do it every other weekend. Just, you know, do something. My mom is 67 years old. She's raising a 3-year-old, a 5, and a 6-year-old. And she told me last week, she said, you know what, I can't do this no more. I mean, they always look nice. She's taking them to practices and all kinds of stuff, therapy, because they all, one of them has hit some drugs in the system. But she's doing the best she could. But she told me last week, she said, I'm tired. I don't know how much longer I can do it. So we made a decision. I said, well, I'll take Jeremiah, the 3-year-old, and then my sister, she'll take, she said she'll keep one, the one that has the has the issues, and then my sister would take the other baby, take the other, the six-year-old, the oldest. But now we got a new baby coming. So I'm like, well, what are we going to do?
Amen.
And my mom, she has control. She's a, I know my mom has control issues because my daughter, who is 33, I said, well, let Mashawn take the baby. The new baby coming. She doesn't have any kids. She said she would take the baby, but she's not going to take all the drama coming with it. She don't want to hear from the mom or dad. Let her raise the son. She's not going to go back and forth with all y'all. And she wouldn't do it. She want to have all those kids under her care, and that just doesn't make any sense to me.
Y'all
pray,
amen.
Pray for my strength.
Amen.
And, you know,
we're going to continue to pray for you, Ruth.
Yes, I'm going to do all I can.
Right. All right. Amen. I want to thank everyone for sharing today. I'm going to continue that next week. So y'all pray my strength. I want to lift up another part of God's response to Paul on next week. And when you look at the conjecture background of that scripture of what theologians speculate and things like that, some say how his faith, he didn't have faith, and I want to look at all of that next week. So I pray that y'all pray with me as I go through this day. It's going to be a long day, all the way to probably 6 o'clock this evening, but I'm up for the challenge, and I know God could trust me with it. Thank you, Gail. That's why he gave me the assignment today. If y'all in the area of Fairfield, Sassoon, I'm preaching at Mount Calvary Baptist Church, Dr. Claiborne Lee, at Lord Susie's at church today, y'all. Look at Susie and Rick is at church. All right, I'm preaching at Mount Calvary Baptist Church at the 10:30 service at the Sassoon location and then the 11:45 at the Fairfield location. So pray my strength in the Lord today. And then I got to be back in Stockton for 4 o'clock for ordination service. So I pray that everyone has a wonderful day today, okay? All right, I love you. I'm going to pray us out, okay? I'm going to pray us out, then we're going to go. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We love you. We lift you and we magnify you. Thank you, God, for what eyes have seen, what ears have heard today, God. We pray as we go to worship today, touch everyone in the worship today, God. God, I pray that you touch everyone, God. I pray that you would lift everybody, God, today. And, God, we love you. We praise you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You guys have a wonderful day today, all right? I love every
Amen.
Last one of you, all right?
Hey, Pastor.
Go and worship. Go.
You have a wonderful day, too.
Yeah, this EK. Listen to a song by Angela Spivey. It's called These Thorns. Everybody listen to that song. It's on YouTube if you don't already have the CD. It's an older song, but it'll help you deal with